Good afternoon, everyone out there in Radio Land. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister here with you in the control room and hosting the show. And with me today is my associate pastor, the most wonderful associate pastor in the whole world, sitting in there on the other side of the glass in the studio, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. And we fondly call you PJ from time to time, don't we? So they should know that's who I'm referring to.
Yes, and I'm signing all my emails to people in church now, just PJ.
Are you really?
I'm not a good typist, so actually people know it's me, and it's much easier just PJ.
Than, it really is, isn't it? So, and what a joy you are. We've been working together in the ministry for a number of years now, and it's a joy to work with you, and I always look forward to these shows every week. I mean, it's such a blessing what God is doing on the air in this ministry now, because we are syndicated with Starcom Media. That reaches us to many parts of the United States and several countries around the globe, for which we are extremely grateful and proud to be a part of Starcom Media, along with the Tan Talk Media Network here. So that's pretty cool, isn't it, Pastor Jim?
It's very cool. Just to think that we're on around the world. I mean, you and I briefly were talking earlier. This is such a big ministry for Beacon of Hope.
Yes, it is.
In that we're sharing the gospel with people around the world.
And
truly, we it was kind of prophetic, changing the name to BOHM Global for our website.
Yes, a couple years, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, we kind of spoke that into existence.
Before it ever happened, yes.
Because now we are truly global.
And that's really cool. Our website address is bohmglobal.com, so you can check it out. BOHM, of course, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's a whole lot easier not to have to write all that out now and get it spelled right for some people.
Oh, praise God, yes.
And, you know, Pastor Jim, as a result of this, and it was mid-January that we were asked to be on the Starcom Media Network, which was such a joy. We are seeing such an increase, an uptick in prayer requests from people we don't know.
Yes.
And we've never heard of. A lot of times we get prayer requests from our own kind of beacon people, some locally, some scattered around the United States. But now it's changing. The dynamic is changing. And now there are so many. We don't know who you are, but we want you to use our prayer line. You want to tell them about that?
Surely. We have a prayer line. You can please send your prayer requests into, and either myself or Betty, who's also one of the radio team, and if you've been listening for any length of time, you've heard Betty on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
One of us picks up the request and formulates a prayer to go with it, because we do believe, we just want everybody on the same page, praying the same thing in unity.
Right.
And we send that out to our prayer team. And, you know, everybody prays, and we have seen miracles. We have seen people getting healed.
Oh, amen. We just had a great praise report come in this morning, wasn't it?
Yes,
from
we
somebody
did.
We've been praying for that's in renal failure in the hospital and has taken a turn for the better.
Yeah, actually, yes. Praise God.
Yes.
You know, when God answers your prayer, please let us know. I do keep track of all the praise reports.
Mm-hmm.
And just because that's the way, you know, we can look back. It's kind of a marker. Was it Samuel in the Old Testament? said, you know, he set up a stone, a pillar, and he called it Ebenezer. The stone.
Right.
Because he said, up to this point, God has helped us.
Yes.
You know, we can look, we can set those stones, those markers
in
our life.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
To say, you know, thus far, God has helped us.
Yes.
Thus far, God has helped us.
Praise God.
And that's a wonderful thing.
And he has, and he continues to. And, you know, it's so good to know that just a simple prayer, just a simple request that comes in on online, 24/7, 365, from wherever you are in the globe. It doesn't matter. It'll get to us. You know, email. That's wonderful about that.
And praise God for technology.
Isn't it? Really? Because, you know, just that comes in and we can write that prayer and we can see a team of members of our radio team praying earnestly for those requests. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Yes. So we encourage you, use that. And you want to tell them the address and how they can be a part of the radio team.
Please. Yes. It is prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. You send your prayer request there. And if you want to be a member of the prayer team, please send your request in, and Betty and I will add you to our list, and we'll get you all set up. The only thing we ask is that you pray with us, believing, and we'll be doing it. So, and I just want to jump in here for a second. Some of you will be hearing us a week later, but for those of you that are hearing us live,
right,
I want to just say a special happy Mother's Day greeting to all the mothers.
Right. Includes me.
That includes Pastor Marcia.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm here in the studio by myself today, because I am not a mother.
Right.
However, I don't think you'll be hearing me in the third Sunday in June, for that is Father's Day.
Okay.
Just kidding. I may be on the schedule.
I don't remember.
But I did just want to reach out to all the mothers and just say God bless you. It's an incredible calling that God has given to mothers.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a calling not to be taken lightly. So I just ask a blessing on all the mothers, the grandmothers, the to-be mothers out there. I would just really pray a blessing on you.
Absolutely. And it's such a joy to be able to speak that kind of a blessing to people. And so me as a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother, I certainly do. Woo! I appreciate that. And had some of the kids home this weekend. That was nice. So just a joy to be able to celebrate with you all. If you listen to this program on Starcom Media, it will be a week later, which will be next Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern or 6 a.m. Central. So hope you had a Mother's Day, beautiful Mother's Day, those of you that are going to listen next week. So anyway, let's get to our first song. It's a song by Mandisa. I like her music. Don't you, Pastor Jim?
Oh, very much so.
Tell us about it and introduce this song, if you will.
Okay, I'm not a big American Idol fan, but Mandisa was on American Idol.
Okay. I did not know that. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
So.
And after leaving, after American Idol, she has been releasing Christian albums. She's got some great songs. One of my favorites is Overcomer, which is not the one we're going to be hearing, but it is a favorite of mine.
Right.
And she's just a great, great singer. And I've heard her on the radio doing interviews, and it's great to know she's just upfront about some issues that she's had in the past and still struggles with.
Cool.
And that is just, that's amazing that she's got that humility, and I appreciate that especially in a Christian singer, because you're out there, you're supposed to be setting examples, and I believe she does that. And
that's
great. She's just a great, great singer.
All right, God speaking.
Breathe. What if it's here? stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Praise God. That's what God is saying to you, dear listener, today. God loves you so very much. You know, there is just no way to describe the love that God has for us. No matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult your circumstances might be today, dear listener, this is God speaking to you. He speaks to us through so many ways. And the series that we are in right now on Living the Good Life is entitled Fired Up with Purpose. And Pastor Jim, I've just been really enjoying teaching this and you and I together teaching it, because so many people lack purpose in their lives. They're just going about their daily, you know, rituals or their daily schedule, and the passion, the spark for life and for God just isn't there. And we want to promote that during this series. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You know, it's easy to get caught up. And it's almost maybe a safety mechanism for some people by doing the getting up in the morning, my morning ritual, going to work, coming home, doing
same
my
old schedule.
Ritual, same thing, day in, day out. It's a comfortable thing, but it's also a dead sort of thing.
Right.
You know, I'm just seeing kind of in my head, just gray. It's just sort of gray.
There you go.
Know, there's no color, no life.
Right.
And that's not what God wants.
Right.
And you know, we've been studying through 2 Timothy, and the more I kind of look at it and read it, and 1 Timothy also.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's here was Paul, basically in 2 Timothy, writing his last will and testament. And yet,
right before he died, right,
and that could have been really depressing. Oh, poor me! Here I am sitting in jail. Everybody's left. I'm just going to sit here and cry about it for a while.
Because he had been deserted by many of his leaders. Had deserted him at this point in the ministry. And this is right before he was beheaded.
Right.
Go ahead.
Most of the leaders in Asia Minor, what's modern day Turkey, just of the churches he started there. You know, Ephesus, Colossae. Derbe, Lystra, they just deserted him.
Yeah.
And he could have just moaned about that, and, you know, we would have had just this really sad letter, but we don't. You know, Paul had purpose.
He had purpose. It's full of purpose, this letter.
To the very end.
Yes, he did.
He had purpose.
Yes.
And I think one of the purposes of the letter was to transmit that purpose.
Yes.
To Timothy, because he held Timothy almost as a son.
Right.
We don't know if Paul had any natural children. It's kind of doubtful that he did. Because we know he wasn't married, but he kind of adopted Timothy.
Right.
And they were like father son.
Right. Took him under his wing.
You know, he's just transmitting all this stuff to Timothy. This is what I need you to do. This is what I'd like you to do. Remember this. And I'm sure we won't get to it for a few more weeks, but chapter 4 of 2 Timothy is so triumphant. Paul could have said, you know what? I hope this is going to be over with soon, because I can't stand it here.
Right. But he wasn't like that at all.
No. No.
And, you know, I think that a lot of people get discouraged, depressed, and want to give up in life and maybe give up their faith, or just be one of those what they call lukewarm Christians, you know, that the book of Revelation talks about, because it's just they don't see much going on as far as God intervening in their lives, but they don't realize, and maybe some of you out there today are some that don't realize, the word says draw close to God. And he will draw close to you, you know. And there is that, if you want purpose in your life, well, first of all, you came to the right show today to listen to this. And go back on our website, because all the shows for April now are on bohmglobal.com plus 300 and some other shows. And it will fire you up with purpose, because God does have a plan for each one of us. You and I, Pastor Jim, we've been hearing that concept since back in college in Campus Crusade for Christ that we both were in. We both went to the same university, didn't know each other then. How interesting that God had a purpose for us to be hooked up.
Exactly.
So many years later. Isn't that cool?
And the timing of that was perfect.
Right.
In fact, Ray and I were talking about that. He said, yeah, you told everybody, you know, he forced me to move here. And I
right.
said, yeah, but I said, you know what? It was perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
It was perfect timing.
Which God does. God has that.
Because you were small enough that I didn't feel intimidated. The church, not you. But the church was small enough. And actually that first Sunday, it gave us time to talk.
Right, we did. And we found out we both graduated from Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. How freaky is that? Mm-hmm. I don't think I've met very few people in my life that graduated from Ball State. But we were both in Campus Crusade. And the number one point in the four spiritual laws is God has a plan for you.
Right.
Right?
God loves you and has a wonderful plan,
for your life. That's it. Exactly.
And
verbatim.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, had to memorize it.
We had to memorize it, yeah.
But that's true, and I think sometimes it just becomes kind of trite. You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And even, and I looking at Paul, people would look at that and say, oh yeah, what's so wonderful about being locked up in the worst prison in the city of
Rome?
There
you go.
And yet, I'll bet you he was converting prisoners while he was there.
Yes,
people probably got saved in
Absolutely.
That prison.
Yes.
And you know, that's the purpose.
Right.
You know, and Paul was on fire with that purpose. The day that Jesus knocked him off, Paul knocked Paul off his horse.
Right.
And saved him.
Book of Acts.
Paul said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. Now get up, go into Damascus. It'll be told you what you're going to do."
Right.
And God revealed to him, to Paul, that he'd stand before kings.
Right.
And preach. And sure enough, he did. King Agrippa, Nero, the Emperor of Rome.
This is so interesting you're bringing this up right now, because I've been reading a Graham Cook book in the last few days. Not cookbook, but Graham Cook, a book by Graham Cook. Okay. A wonderful teacher of the word from England. And I just love his work. And one of the things he says is that we got to realize that we should be present future instead of present past, which so many are. So many are living in the past, and that's why they don't feel like they have a purpose, because a purpose is talking about future.
Yes.
Right? And as you reminded us just then, Paul was knocked off the horse. He was sent into Damascus. Prophecy was spoken over him that he would have all this happen to him, and we know it happened. And so for some of you out there that have had prophetic words spoken over you, and God has said, hang on, this is going to happen to you, and this is going to happen, and you're going to be my spokesman, and you're going to be doing this and this, take it to the bank, because that's present future. God knows the future, and he knows what he's going to do with us. So that's why we've got to discover our purpose.
Right, right. And I just want to clarify, the wonderful plan.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're not going to live free of trouble.
That's
free
right.
Of issues. Paul didn't. Peter didn't.
That's
John,
right.
John the Apostle didn't. You know, you read their writings. They had issues. I mean, they had issues they had to deal with, too. And yet, each of them had purpose.
That's
each
right.
Each of them had a calling on their life. And I truly believe God puts a calling on each one of our lives.
I agree.
He's got a purpose. He's got a place for
everybody.
Us. Yeah, well.
We're not all called to be a pastor, evangelist, teacher, whatever, but we all have a purpose.
We are part of the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you know Jesus, you're a part of that body.
Amen.
And your particular duty, role, think of it organically. You may be part of a hand or part of a foot.
Right.
Each one of those things is necessary.
Absolutely.
So first of all, we need to just know what our calling, our purpose is. And then I like how Paul puts it in Philippians, work out our salvation with, with fear and trembling. It's kind of a, God initiates, but we cooperate.
And we put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
I like Galatians 5, I think it's 16, where it says that you just put one foot in front of the other. That Greek word there was peripatello, mm-hmm. which means, one step at a time. Did I pronounce that wrong? I probably did, didn't I? Yeah, I butchered it. I'm not a Greek scholar. But anyway, just putting that one foot in front of the other, because God does not show us. God did not ever tell me back when I was a young person and saying, Lord, I'll do everything you want me to do and be everything you want me to be. He didn't say, well, on Mother's Day of 2015, you're going to be sitting in a control room running a radio show that's part of this. I mean, no, I did not know those specifics. Mm-hmm. God doesn't necessarily do that. He will give us broad generalities when he begins to disclose purpose in our lives. Don't you think, Pastor Jim?
Yeah. I mean, I knew when I got saved, oddly enough, quite honestly, I knew it before I got saved. I knew there was a call in my life.
Right.
I think I told you before, I preached even before I got saved.
Right, yeah. That's kind of crazy.
That's kind of crazy. But I knew that calling was there.
Right.
And I, for a number of reasons, I just figured it was not going to happen.
Right.
But it did. And in the meantime, I'd had people pray over me in prophetic words. And I just want to tell our listeners, because there may be somebody out there who's thinking, wait a minute, God cannot use me because of this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
I thought that too. And I figured all those prophetic words that have been spoken over me.
Sure.
Were, I thought, they're never going to come to pass.
Right.
I mean, it was prophesied I would help lead worship.
Right.
It's prophesied I would pastor and teach, because
wow.
that's my gift. And I figured due to a set of circumstances that happened, ooh, heavens, now 20 years ago,
it would never happen.
And yet, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
Right.
Once God gives you those things, he doesn't pull them back.
Right.
We have to step into them. God had to do a work in me to get me to that point.
I am so glad we're having this discussion, and I hope it's helping countless numbers of people scattered around the globe. I have to go back to when I started the church in Indiana, Cornerstone Ministry. In fact, Betty and her daughter Megan and Cindy that are on our radio team here now were a part of my ministry and my church in Indiana. But I was ordained under a group in Bradenton because I'd gone there to the school of ministry. And the head of that organization came to Indiana for my ordination in front of the church. And my parents, my dad was in the ministry, pastor, missionary, evangelist, and my mom, they flew up for this event. And before this lady, the head of the ministry, stood up there to preach and then to pray over me, she had my dad speak some words, and he spoke some words. And this was not anything I had ever seen or heard my dad do before, but he began to prophesy right there. And he said that this church, which was brand new, would only have me there for a short time, and then the ministry would be going to so many different directions, but globally, and the word would be going out globally. And, you know, I had forgotten all that. And I mean, it's something I think about once in a while, but not very often until just now. You're talking about this. That was prophesied by my own flesh and blood, my dad, in 1985. And here we are. Well, that's interesting. We're 30 years later. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, it is 30, not 30 20.
Years.
That's right.
30 years later, and 30 is the number in the word for anointing and coming into maturity. That's very interesting to me. But it was right about this time of year when that event happened. And how bizarre is all of that? And look how God knew the future. And here I am just now figuring this out 30 years later, that it has come true. It has taken some time. And it has taken acts of obedience on my part. All right, Lord, I surrender more of my junk to you because I want to be everything you want me to be.
Well, and it was 30 years ago that I let the calling die. And that doesn't really die, but I feared it was dead. And it was about 25 years ago that God revived it. And, you know, which is just weird.
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting.
Now that we're talking about this, of course, we don't know what we're going to talk about on these shows. We just have a general idea of where we're going. But that's all fascinating. So audience, let these things in our lives encourage you that you may not see the whole picture, but God sees the big picture for your life. He has plan and he has purpose for you. And let's start with 2 Timothy 1:12, actually 11. In the Message Bible, and then you can read it in whatever you are reading out of today, Pastor Jim. What does it happen to be?
Today it happens to be King James.
King James, all right. In 11 and 12 of 2 Timothy, verse 1, this is the message I've been set apart to proclaim. This is Paul talking. As preacher, emissary, and teacher. It's also the cause of all this trouble I'm in. But I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end. This is a pivotal verse in the book of 2 Timothy, in my opinion, because Paul is saying, I don't have regrets. I entrust myself to you. Read it in the King James, and then you can comment on that verse.
Okay. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Right.
Praise
that is
God.
That is so pivotal because it shows the stuff Paul's made of, basically.
Oh, hey, man, it does.
You know, he says, I've been appointed a preacher, an apostle.
He didn't know that on the first day, though, that he got knocked off the horse, did he?
No.
Any of that?
No, he wouldn't have. Because that came along later. God revealed that to him later.
Right.
So he was a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And he said, this is why I'm in prison for doing these things. But I know who I'm.
Woo.
I know whom I have believed.
Yes.
I know the one I've believed in.
And yes.
There's about 3 days worth of sermons right there.
Right there.
he knew Jesus, first
Amen.
Of all.
He
had an intimate relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
He knew the one that he believed in.
He talked to him. He listened to him all the time, every day, constantly.
And that's something, if we're going to truly fulfill our purpose, that's one of those steps we have to take.
That's right.
And, you know, I know I need to do it more. But we have to be in the Word, because
we have
to communicate with God through the Bible, through the Word, through prayer. And it's not, you know, you don't have to, I love King James, but you don't have to pray King James. You can just talk to God.
Just talk to God.
And get to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing is more than just knowing about. I just feel the need to stress that.
Please do. Please go ahead.
You know, I know even before I got saved, I'd grown up in church. I'm pretty, you know, I knew a lot of scriptures and stuff. And that's always been something, you know, that I've had to watch, because I can know all about God, but that's not enough.
No,
you can know all about, you know, whoever. But Paul says, I know the one. I'm acquainted with the one that I believed in.
Oh, amen.
And he had that living relationship.
Yes.
And that's what's so important, is you can know about God, or you can be in a relationship with God. Well, you should both, actually. But most people just settle for knowing about God.
Right.
But God wants to be in a relationship. And that's what Paul had here. And he said, I know the one I believed in. I know he's able to keep everything I've committed to him,
right?
Paul's life, his ministry, everything, he's able to keep it until that day, until Jesus comes back. God's able to keep it. And I believe that's what's, I'm preaching here.
You are. It's all right.
I believe that's what sustained Paul in prison.
Absolutely.
He
it
said,
did.
I'm
purpose.
A,
he had purpose.
He had purpose. He said, and later on, of course, he says, I've done it. I've fulfilled my calling.
Right.
I finished it. I finished the fight.
Yeah.
The good fight of faith. I've done it. I'm ready to go.
Right.
Because he had fulfilled everything God had given him to do. And but the only way to do that is to, like Paul, I know whom I have believed.
Right.
And I'm persuaded that
That's
he's able
it, right
to
there.
Keep that which I've committed to him. The things we commit to God, ourselves, our spouses, our children,
right.
our jobs, everything, our possessions,
right?
We commit those to God, and he's able to keep them.
Amen.
You know, and he'll sift out maybe what we don't, you know, what's a little extraneous, maybe the stuff we don't need.
Well, the things that we need to work on.
Stuff that gets in the way.
Absolutely. He'll show us, and we work on that.
But he's able to keep that which we give to him.
Yes, amen.
Until the day Jesus comes back.
As you were saying that, it reminded me of Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek." And most of us are not actually born Jewish. We've been adopted into God's family, but most of us are Gentiles, Greeks around the world. But Paul says, the Jews got it first, but everybody, it's for everybody. And I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Paul lived that, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Can you read that in the King James? Did I get it right? I memorized it years and years ago, but
I believe you
did. I got it pretty close, I think. But I'd like for us to read it, because I memorized it in the King James as a little girl.
Okay. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Okay, I left off everyone who believes. And you know what? That is pivotal. right there. I'm glad we read it, because it's the power is there, the power of the gospel, but you got to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just say, oh, well, this is a nice book and I'm going to put it on my coffee table and, oh, isn't that pretty? It's got my name on it. If you never pick it up and you never wear it out, I cannot tell you the number of Bibles I've worn out. Well, and you too, you and I both, we have so many Bibles, and you've seen a big stack in my house on my whatever you call it. Oh, there's,
and I do praise God for modern technology on
right?
my smartphone.
You got it on your
I
phone
have
too.
Access. I have two Bible apps
yeah?
on my smartphone. So I mean, I can just
find.
I can
anything.
Just be biblical into a frenzy now.
Woo.
So.
But the point is, we got to be not ashamed of the gospel.
Exactly.
And, you know, every once in a while, I'm out at the Causeway, which I love to go to. It's just gorgeous. If any of you come visit Florida, it's just, oh, Dunedin Causeway is just amazing. And I'm out there, and many, many years ago, I started this tradition, 20 years ago. I stand kind of at the edge of the water, and I've got my Bible, my New Testament right there, and I'm reading it. I don't care what anybody thinks. Oh, she's reading the Bible. Absolutely, I am, because it's the most wonderful place to read the Bible. We got to not be ashamed, is my point. We've got to just say, hey, I need the Word. I need it on the inside of me. I need to grow in my spiritual life, in my relationship with God. And Paul says it right here. I'm not ashamed, and I know whom I have believed, you know? So this is a key. If you've been listening to this series, this is the first point today. You got to know who you believe in. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is that who you believe in? Look at verse 13 and 14. In the Message Bible, it says this of 2 Timothy chapter 1. So keep at your work. Oh, we can talk about that. This faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. It is as sound as the day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. PJ, I believe a lot of people, they mean well. They get saved. They ask Jesus to come in their heart. But it never grows and never takes them into the realm of saying, Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose for my life.
Right. And I think some people just, and I think it's because they're taught that way. We scare them into salvation. It's fire.
Right.
It's fire insurance.
Fire insurance.
Only.
Yeah.
It's so much more than that.
Yes.
I probably said this on the radio before, but as a child, my parents always sent us off to church camp.
Right.
And even though the denomination I went to at that time was pretty liberal, at least. One night, and it was always Thursday night of church camp week, we had the revivalists come in. And every Thursday night, I got the hell scared out of me.
Right.
I walked that trail. I prayed to receive Jesus. I must have done that for 6 years running.
I did it a bunch of times, too.
And
I understand.
But because we were never taught that there's anything more beyond that, and I figured, you know, next year rolls around, you know, by that time, obviously I had not been taught about forgiveness and confessing my sins. It was almost like I had to do an annual day of atonement, as it were,
cool,
to roll my sins back
right.
another year, because I had no idea. And then all of a sudden I learned, you know, yeah, you get the fire insurance, so you're not going to go to hell. I mean, praise God for that. But that's just the start.
It's just the beginning.
You know, even, I mean, obviously, if that was it, that'd be enough.
Right.
But God has so much more for each one of us. He has so much. Well, he has the purpose. He has a calling. He's got life for us. You know, John, the apostle, through his gospel and through the epistles, the letters that he wrote, he talks about the life. And it's not just fire insurance, not just getting you out of hell. It's life. It's life. It's God's life in us, which is an incredible gift. It's something that we carry inside of us that enables us to fulfill his calling, enables us to live, as Jesus said in John 10:10, an abundant life, not just a gray that I talked
about earlier. Right, no, this is colorful, passionate.
Yeah, what was that? Yeah. There was that movie a while.
I was thinking about that, Pleasantville.
Pleasantville, where everything was gray.
That was those 25 years ago or
then
more.
Those two kids end up there, and all of a sudden things start to take on color. And it freaks everybody out. But that's
because passion came in, you know, love came in, and not just daily routine.
Right.
That movie is old, but it is really representative of how important it is to have passion in your life.
Exactly, you know? Because that's what gives us color.
Yes.
That's what gives us vibrancy.
Right.
You know, we're not, there may be some, you know, God wants us to be vibrant, not just gray, shades of gray or black, and, you know, black and white and gray.
Right.
He created a world with color, and that's, in a sense, what he wants for us. He wants our lives to be in technicolor.
Oh, yes. Woo. Amen. So we're saying that you can have purpose more so than you've ever had in your life. That's what this series is about, fired up with purpose, so that you, every day is exciting, it's adventuresome, and you never know what God's going to do or where he's going to take you. And that's an exciting way to live. You never know what door of opportunity is going to open. Mm-hmm. You never know what assignment you might have during that day that God puts in your path. Which brings us perfectly to this song by Chris Tomlin. And it's really, I believe he uses the old song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and then adds his current flair to it.
I love when he does that.
I do too. And this is a great song, and let it minister to you right now.
All the way my Savior leads me, who have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, and cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart and show.
Praise God. All the way my Savior leads me, and you show me your goodness and your mercy. Oh, that's great. Psalm 23, David says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love Psalm 23. And, you know, Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy, dear listeners, that he's been following the Lord. And he says, this is what I need you to do. I need you to keep at your work. That's verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1. And he goes on, and Pastor Jim, you made mention of this earlier, down in 15 through 18, he says that all these different ones have deserted me. But he does not bellyache about it, nor does he tell why they were mad or any of that. It's just a fact of life, and those of us in the ministry have experienced that through the years. That's just part of it. So let's go down to chapter 2 and go to verse 1, and this is 2 Timothy chapter 2. "So my son," and I'm reading from the Message Bible, "throw yourself into this work for Christ. Pass on what you heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen, to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. When the going gets rough," not if the going gets rough, "take it on the chin with the rest of us the way Jesus did." Pastor Jim, basically, Paul is saying, you know, yeah, people left me, they abandoned me, but that's not an excuse for me to quit. And I believe a lot of people go to church, they are hurt, things happen in ministries, and they're disappointed, they walk away, and basically they just say, forget all that. I'm just going to live and forget any purpose,
right?
Any relationship with right. God.
Well, and Paul says, you know, they've turned away.
Right.
Okay, I've said it. They've turned away. I'm moving on. God right. grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. And,
right.
you know. So, yeah, he said, yes, this is what's happened. But still there are those who are faithful.
Right.
And then he says, therefore, you be strong.
Be strong.
In the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Whoa. Be strong in that grace, Timothy.
Mm.
Don't let this get you down.
Right.
You know, and
because we do, people do in ministry, right? You and I have pastored for years, and people get mad, upset, they leave for one reason or another. Sometimes, you know, there's truth in it, sometimes there's not. But whatever it is, the devil's working overtime to get people out, and we got to keep our eyes off of those situations.
Exactly. And what can happen is, I could, it'd be like if somebody said something about you.
Right.
I might be in a Timothy sort of position like he was with Paul. I'd be all worried and all that. And Paul's basically saying, don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's no big deal.
Be strong in the grace.
That's right.
And now here's your assignment, Timothy. What you heard me talk about, transmit to
yes.
other people.
Yes, yes.
So they can transmit it to more people.
Which you know? Is purpose right there.
Exactly.
The purpose is not to get all upset about whatever has happened in the church. And I know that most of our listeners out there probably have gone to church at some point in their life, and maybe they've experienced some situation that was not pleasant, and then it was the talk of the church and all that. And Paul's trying to get Timothy's attention off of the ones who have walked away and deserted, right?
Exactly, exactly. This is what I want you to do, okay? Be strong. Everything you've heard me teach, you find faithful people that you can give that, you can teach them so they in turn can teach others, because that's how the word of God gets, got transmitted. That's how the gospel, the good news, all those teachings of Paul got transmitted, because people like Timothy and Titus preached it, taught it, and then ordained other leaders to
Absolutely.
Go out and do the same thing.
Yes. Yes. And so as a result of that, the gospel got put out there, you mm-hmm. know, because and people, and I honestly, Pastor Jim, I can't make this point strong enough, because I grew up as a pastor's kid from I was 2 weeks old when my dad became a pastor for the first time in a town called Rusheville, Indiana. Maybe you know Rusheville, Indiana.
Rusheville.
He was the pastor of the Friends Church there for four years.
I went to Ball State with somebody from Marishaville.
Okay. Well, that's where we started our lives. And then we moved to Marion, Indiana, and he pastored a country church out there for 7 years, and we went to the mission field. So anyway, during all these times, I grew up hearing mom and dad discuss stuff that was going on in church, or this one that was mad about this, or this one that was leaving the church because they didn't like the color of whatever, the carpet they had picked out. Or I'm not kidding. This stuff happens. And I grew up in the ministry, and I remember saying as a kid, I am never marrying a pastor. I said that so many times, it was kind of comical in our family. I said, I know who I'm not marrying, a pastor. Well, as it turns out, I didn't. I married a doctor, but I became the pastor. So it was, you know, but you know, all those things can get you so messed up, and that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Let's reveal the devil's tactics here, Pastor Jim. This is a common tactic of the enemy to keep people out of fulfilling their purpose.
If he can stir up strife,
yes,
then, you know, and that's why, I mean, I know you taught a whole series on offense.
Yes, offense, take it or leave it.
Yeah. And we that's our choice.
Right.
I can choose to be offended.
Right.
I can choose to carry a grudge. I can choose to walk around with a chip on my shoulder because somebody slighted me, or at least that's how I perceive it. And what good does it do me? That's why Paul says, don't, you know, be angry. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be angry. But don't carry it around with you.
Don't carry it around.
Sunset's a good time to get rid of it.
Right.
You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Amen.
Paul kind of sets that time limit there.
Right.
So if you're going to be angry, do it early.
Do it early in
the day so you can carry it all day long.
So it can ruin your day.
So it can just ruin your day.
Yeah, there you go. You know, there's some people that they get in a ministry and they feel like that's not where they belong. That's a different thing than what we're talking about here.
Right.
God does move people from one ministry to another for various reasons.
And some people may, because it's totally possible to misread.
Yes.
God's calling, because if you've grown up, especially in so many denominational churches, you think the only way you can serve God is either as a pastor or a missionary.
Right, which isn't true.
And that's just not true.
No.
You know, and heaven, it just does you no good. I mean, really, I would encourage you, if you're kind of struggling with that, ask God to show you what he wants. Because you don't have to be a pastor.
No.
You don't have to be a missionary.
Absolutely not.
You can be a quote-unquote missionary to the person next door.
Right. Exactly.
You live your life for Christ, and let Jesus' life shine through you. You're going to be a missionary without even having to try.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting to me that so many people feel less than. So many Christians, the devil has duped them. You know, it's a lie of the devil that you're not as effective if you're not a pastor that went to seminary or whatever the case may be. You know, there's so many people that feel that they are of no value. That's the point I want to make. In fact, this past Thursday night on our Thursday night show that Dr. Angel and I, Mama Mac and Dr. Angel and Go Yard, we talked about your value, and that so many people are stuck in ruts of low self-esteem and feeling like they have no value because they've messed up in some area of their life, whatever. We talked about it Thursday night as a psychological issue, not spiritual. But it really applies here, because every one of us has value, whether or not we are in a major role in a ministry, a pastor, a teacher, whatever, evangelist. You know, my heavens, not everybody's a Billy Graham. Not everybody is this or that, you know, but wow, the devil tries to tell people they have no value if they are not in that kind of a ministry role. You know what I mean?
Right. That, and he also says, because this or that happened in your life,
amen,
you've disqualified yourself. And yeah, there are some things that you need to sit under teaching and just sit back for a while. I had to do that.
Right.
But God's put a calling on you. He longs to fulfill that calling,
amen.
Whatever it is.
Yes, he does.
And you do have value. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. Yeah, sin, because of Adam and our own sins, that's marred it, that's kind of made it blurry sometimes.
Right.
But we're of value because we are God's highest creation.
Oh, amen.
And he loves us. He set his love on us.
And, you know, I think part of this teaching on Fired Up with Purpose is to point out how the devil tries to keep you from your purpose. And these are some good points we've made in this first hour. You can go back and listen to this show. It'll be up on the podcast here on tantalk1340.com by late tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest. You can go back and listen. And at the end of each month, our webmaster puts all the shows from Go Yard, our Thursday night show, and this show on our websites, which we'll talk more about that. But go back and listen to these things that the devil tries to throw at us, and he, you know, he absolutely dupes. I guess I've used that word now two or three times during this first hour, but the devil dupes people into believing they are of no value to the kingdom of God and therefore have no real purpose.
Exactly. Well, and he's called the deceiver, the duper, as it were.
Yes.
And that's really what he did with Eve when you stop to think about it. He said, first of all, you know, God's holding back on you because did he really say you couldn't eat of the fruit of the garden?
Good point.
Any of the fruit? And
yeah.
So it's like he minimizes God's what God wants to do in our lives.
Right.
You know, like God's holding something back.
Right.
And and Eve, in her attempt to defend God, and just so you know, God doesn't need defended.
Right.
She overstepped her bounds and said, "Oh, we can't eat it. Only the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't eat it, and we can't even touch it." God never said they couldn't touch it. She added that. So Satan got her on shaky ground right there.
There you go.
And then he just did the big lie. Well, you know, she says, well, we can't even touch it or we're going to die. And then Satan said, you're not going to die because God knows you'll be wise. So he plays to our weaknesses.
Yes, he does.
He says, okay, you want to be wise? Here's the way to do it.
Right. Devil is a liar, father of lies,
and he's a liar. I don't know how to quite say this. He's a shortcutter.
Yeah,
you know, if God's original plan for Adam and Eve was they should learn good and evil from their fellowship, their communion with Him, with God, and Satan said, "I'm going to show you a shortcut." You know, and
that's a good way to look at it.
The devil's shortcuts. Always lead down that wrong road.
That's right.
So,
good point.
But that's what he tried to do. He said, okay, here's a shortcut.
Yeah, good point.
And he deceived her, and that's what he still does. You know, he tried to convince her she was less than in God's eyes, like God was holding something back.
Exactly.
And if, you know, you believe that, then your whole image of God is wrong.
Right.
I mean, you know, your image of God gets messed up. And if you don't have a proper image of God, then you're not going to feel comfortable approaching Him, fellowshipping with
Him. That's right. That's right. All of that. Wow. Wow. We've got more to talk about in our second hour. So glad we have a second hour because we are just getting started here. I mentioned Go Yard. It is our Thursday night show. It's a life coaching show. And Dr. Angel Falzone, who's a part of our ministry, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and I've counseled for a number of years. And that's a show where we have call-ins and text-ins, and we cover points that are, you know, a lot of stuff, really good stuff. So go to goyard2014.org to our website. And all the shows we've done since the middle of September through April are there, and you can listen to them, and they have titles on them, Setting Proper Boundaries in Our Lives, What About Domestic Violence, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's great. GoYard2014.org, and you can catch us live on this station on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. and 5 p.m. on the Starcom Media Network on Thursdays. So that's what Go Yard is all about. And that's with my other name, Mama Mac. So there you go. We welcome you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, to join us on Friday night for our Friday gathering. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. We mentioned the prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. We want you to use that anytime. Send emails with your prayer requests. Pastor Jim, who you're hearing on this show today, and Betty, who is also one of our radio team members up in Indiana, one of them will pick up the request on the emails and write a prayer, send it out to our prayer team. You can become a part of the prayer team by just sending an email, prayers at bohmglobal.com, and say, put me on the prayer team. All right. That's what that's all about. So we're in a series, Fired Up with Purpose, and we're going to do station ID here. And then, Pastor Jim, I want you to talk about our Friday gathering. And that's right here in Tampa Bay every single Friday night. We no longer have a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We've really revamped, and our radio outreach is our main focus, but we still have the local Friday gathering. So we want to welcome everybody to that, and he'll tell you more about that in just a minute.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay.